It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guests are Mr. Sharon Bowie and Mr. Mark Rice. And Mark, this takes me back to a long time ago when we used to spend some time together. And I thought it was very important back then, and I think it's just as important now, that we get this information out to the community. You know, so Mr. Bowie, I was asking Mark that the last time there was a prison built, and he couldn't think either, but it's Baskerville, I think, was the last one. Oh, MSDF in Milwaukee, is that the last one they built?
I don't know if MSDF will qualify as a prison.
Right.
I think that MSDF is similar to like the House of Corrections out in Franklin, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They have individuals who can serve more than a year. It's important that we, again, be accurate in that, you know, individuals who go to prison, that means you have been sentenced to 1 year and 1 day.
Right.
So if it's 1 day over that, that's when you go to the state of Wisconsin Department of Corrections.
But MSDF has had people a lot longer than a year.
Absolutely. So that's why it's one of those hybrid models that tend to defy the law a little bit.
Right.
They can hold individuals there and actually sentence people there for longer than that as well. But I think the last prison, if I'm not mistaken, it's either Red Granite or Stanley. Wasn't it one of them?
But the point is, it's rare.
Oh, absolutely. It's been 25 years, right?
Yeah, so
20 years.
So the question becomes, why now? Why does there need to be this new prison built, state-of-the-art prison built? And those of us who are a little more astute than others when it comes to these types of things knows that politics engaged and involved in it, and business is engaged and involved in it. And it's not so much that it's because we have so many people, but opportunities are all tied into that to make money. And so when money has more value and is more important than people, we get these kinds of things. And I'm sure that in the political discussions of the Senate debate, that some of those things may come up.
Well, I think that the first thing that we have to do is this is what I've always done. When I'm arguing a case, I try to always figure out what the opposition thinks.
Right.
And then once I realize what they think, then I can formulate a plan for addressing that. So let's see why the opposition would say that we need to have more prisons in Green Bay. Well, the Green Bay Correctional Institution is definitely outdated. It's a relic. It's antique. And most importantly, the cells are approximately 5 feet wide, and you have two individuals inside those cells. So under no circumstances should grown men be in a cell where you can touch both sides of the wall. That's number one. And number two, when you look at the actual institution, it does not have the necessary amenities that a modern prison would have. So they would say that it's actually to the benefit of the prisoners if we were to have a new facility. Now, to me, I could very easily debunk that by stating that the easiest way to do this would be to release some of those prisoners, or most importantly, instead of the 1/3 individuals who go to prison each year, and as Mark pointed out, it's between 3,000 to 5,000 people who have not committed a new crime, you would be able to close the Green Bay facility because it houses approximately 1,000 individuals. So we're talking about if you just stopped sending people to prison who have not committed a crime, you would have more than enough room in the rest of the Department of Correction to house those prisoners and a couple of thousand less. So that's how I would address that, the issue from the opposition, if you will, who would be promoting that. But there's this one line, right, from Scarface, and I always quote this line, and it's where he tells Tony Montana, he says, listen, never underestimate the other guy's greed. And I think what we do a lot is we underestimate the other guy's greed. There is a significant amount of money that goes into building a prison. And it's not just for the people who are building it. It is for the community in which that prison resides. So we can we must stop underestimating the other guy's greed.
You know,
that way I think we can address this.
You know, the fact that there are so many inmates nationally as well as locally who are of the age that they don't present a threat to anybody, right? I mean, things that just don't make any sense. And ill and all of those things, but we, for whatever reason, we won't release them. The added cost of treating, septuagenarians and octogenarians who are imprisoned, and then it just makes no sense whatsoever. We aren't willing to look at it with open eyes, right? I mean, because, well, they committed the crime, they've got to be there. I mean, so I mean, there are some things that can be done, as you stated, Mr. Bowie, that can reduce prison population still. It's bad enough that you got all these young people who are going to be locked up, a whole new crop, if you will, of young people who can be locked up for decades, and some instances are going to be working in prisons, right? I mean, a business.
Yeah. It's a huge business. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, so I feel we need to start with the humanization of people who are incarcerated. We definitely need to stop using terms like inmate, felon, offender, predator, and instead recognize the humanity of these individuals and start using terms like people who've been incarcerated, formerly incarcerated people, people-centered language, but to start to recognize the potential. There's a huge amount of potential that's wasted. People, some of the best and brightest people I've ever met were in prison or people who are formerly incarcerated. Sharon, for example, some of the most brilliant people that you'll ever meet in your life, and they could be out here contributing to building safer, stronger, and healthier communities, but instead are just trapped in the prison system. And another piece is compassionate release. We saw during COVID that there was no plan to protect the dignity and well-being of people during pandemics. Even during hurricanes and things of that nature in New Orleans, they had plans to protect and save cats and dogs, but there was no plan to protect human beings. And so it starts there. We need to look at that compassionate release and really looking at and respecting the humanity and dignity of people who are incarcerated.
So I got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.